This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hi, radio listeners. This is your host, Howie Baum, doing my weekly reading of interesting articles from the Cincinnati Herald. I'd like to start with the first article that has the title, President Alicia Reese Launches Youth Employment. 1,000 youth were in attendance. Hamilton County Commission President Alicia Reese, founder of the 513 Relief Bus, initiated a successful launch of Hamilton County's new Office of Youth with a special countrywide employment day in collaboration with the 513 Relief Bus on Saturday, April 13th at the Evanston Recreation Center. President Alicia Reese introduced the county's first-ever Office of Youth, drawing over 1,000 youth and parents who lined up around the building, sidewalks, and filled the parking lot to apply for youth employment opportunities and enroll in the county's new youth program. Hamilton County's Youth and Employment Day provided a one-stop shop of free services, including employment opportunities for individuals age 14 to 21, work physicals, birth certificates, scholarships, as well as enrollment in training and certification programs, among other services. The event saw a diverse array of partners and service providers in attendance, including Harbor and Talbert House, offering employment options, Dr. Kel Housen, providing free work physicals, the Children's Law Center, offering legal assistance, Destiny Beauty Academy, providing haircuts, Cincy Smiles Foundation, offering dental hygiene, Game Truck, and music by Ebony J. Media, among others. We are building upon our commitment to supporting the youth of Hamilton County and ensuring our program provides the funding, the jobs, college scholarship opportunities, training, and leadership development for our youth, said President Alicia Reese. The title of the next part of the article, Hamilton County Office of Youth. Initiated by President Reese, the Hamilton County Office of Youth is a year-round operation connecting Hamilton County youth to immediate job opportunities, industry-recognized training, and long-term achievement. Additionally, employers are finding a capable and reliable workforce ready to make a difference in their field. The Hamilton County Board of Commissioners have invested over $4 million in youth resiliency grants, connecting over 27,000 youth to diverse enrichment programs and jobs. For more information on the Hamilton County Office of Youth and to sign up for the Youth Employment Program, you can call Sarah Gray at 513 area code 946-0400. The title of the next article, Kennedy Heights Art Center's 20th Anniversary Exhibition. In honor of its 20th anniversary, Kennedy Heights Art Center is excited to present Growth from Creativity, Kennedy Heights Art Center's 20th Anniversary Exhibition. This group show features diverse works by 20 talented artists of the many who have helped shape KHAC over the years and will be on view from May 9th to July 18th at the Linder Gallery, 6620 Montgomery Road, Unit 2, Cincinnati 45213. Collaboration with local artists has been pivotal to the success of the Art Center mission, growth, and impact. Whether it be curating, teaching, outreach programming, engaging with our community jurying, creating public artworks, and or volunteering their time and talents over the years, these artists have been crucial to shaping and supporting Kennedy Heights Art Center. KHAC fosters creative experimentation and values process, which is a real gift to artists when you are trying to take a risk and grow your ideas. Every year the center seems to grow more and more vibrant, says Susan Burns, artist and art educator. This exhibition will officially open on Thursday, May 9th from 6 to 8 p.m. during KHAC's celebration event, Cheers to 20 Years, which is free to attend, but tickets are required. Tickets can be found at the following website, www.kennedyarts, that's KennedyArts.org. An artist talk and reception will be on Saturday, June 22nd at 1 p.m. Free, open to the public, light refreshments. Exhibiting artists are Gordon Baer, D.2019, Jymi Bolden, Mindy Berger, Susan Burns, Lynn Conaway, Michael Conaway, Cedric Michael Cox, Latusha Cox, Billy Cunningham, Sad Gosen, Melvin Greer, Natalie Jean, Robin Hartman, William Jones, Michael Keating, Karen Lintzer, Paul Lowley, Adoria Maxberry, Casey Riordan, and Carol Gay Staples. The title of the next article, Cincinnati Mayor and CEOs Speak at Leadership Summit. At the 1819 Innovation Hub, distinguished panelists such as Cincinnati Mayor F. Tab Pierval, AltaFiber CEO and UC Foundation Board of Trustees Chair Lee Fox, and former Cincinnati Children's Hospital President and CEO Michael Fisher provided informative perspectives to the dialogue on leadership development. Panel discussions spoke to the essence of leadership, exploring both theory and practice. The Warren Bennis Leadership Summit is committed to bridging the gap between theory and practice, fostering an environment conducive to cultivating innovative ideas and methodologies. Leadership theories often remain confined to textbooks, and the summit's goal was to breathe life into these concepts by showcasing real-world applications. Panelists blended theoretical knowledge with practical acumen, ensuring attendees departed with tangible strategies and actionable insights. Central to the summit's ethos is the belief that leadership is an evolving skill, not a static trait. Attendees were empowered to embark on their leadership development journeys through engaging discussions and networking opportunities. By providing a platform for continuous learning and growth, the summit equipped attendees with the tools and inspiration needed to navigate the complexities of leadership in today's ever-changing world. Following the Warren Bennis Leadership Summit, pianists and attendees viewed the solar eclipse. Panelists included Cincinnati leaders Lee Fox, CEO of AltaFiber, F. Tab Pierval, Mayor, Carrie Byrne, President of TQL, Michael Fisher, from former CEO, Cincinnati Children's Hospital, Barbara Turner, former CEO of the Ohio National Insurance Group, and thought leaders Doug Conant of Campbell's Soup and Nabisco, The Blueprint, Raj Sisodia, Conscious Capitalism, Betsy Myers of Take the Lead, Donna Trobot Mason of Boundary Spanning Leadership, and Marianne Lewis, both in thinking. The UC 1819 Innovation Hub is the gateway to the University of Cincinnati, serving as the central nerve center for the Cincinnati Innovation District. Situated in a renovated former Sears, Roebuck and Company structure, and strategically positioned in close proximity to renowned research facilities, the 1819 Innovation Hub serves as a dynamic space for pioneering programs, resources, and events. Students, researchers, and business professionals collaborate to foster connections, creating a thriving startup ecosystem that supports the Cincinnati region and beyond. In this atmosphere of inspiration, they engage in collaborative problem-solving, forming the backbone of the district's entrepreneurial community. For additional information, visit following website, Innovation, innovation.uc.edu. The title of the next article, Cincinnati Futures Commission Unveils Economic Revitalization Plan. The report recommends Cincinnati raise taxes and fees. After more than a year of work, officials of the 34-member Cincinnati Futures Commission say they believe Cincinnati is poised to usher in a decade of economic opportunity. After engagement and analysis by experts, the Futures Commission recently presented a set of recommendations that align the city's budget around core operations, structure the city to support growth, and target investments into economic initiatives. The report has been given to city council members and to the public at large to review the recommendations. The city council has not yet had community engagement or taken a position on the recommendations. The Cincinnati Futures Commission spoke to hundreds of residents and dozens of stakeholders over 15 months while analyzing the city's spending and needs. As a result, the commission issued a 77-page report detailing spending recommendations, raising taxes, and other tactics to help Cincinnati balance its budget while angling the city toward a future of growth. The city's projected 10-year deficit, currently projected in the city's operating budget, sits at around $439 million, according to the report. With the winding down of the COVID-era federal aid and uncertainty related to the shifting nature of work, many cities are facing the real possibility of cutting back on services and decreasing investments into their communities, said officials with the Cincinnati USA Regional Commerce. The Cincinnati Futures Commission was convened to confront these challenges and orient the city towards growth. We have spent the last year studying the problems, engaging with the community, and working with experts to develop solutions. The city of Cincinnati, if it implements the commission's recommendations, has an opportunity to go on the offensive and solidify a more equitable and vibrant future in these uncertain economic times. Even as this report presents solutions to the economic and financial challenges that the city must confront immediately, the Futures Commission also recognizes that the city has long-term liabilities that loom large over its budget, chamber officials stated. The Futures Commission believes that now is the time to take bold action, as the city did when it sold the Cincinnati Southern Railway to address its deferred maintenance backlog, to mitigate the risk the Cincinnati retirement system continues to present. According to a press release, the commission spoke with over 800 people across multiple focus groups, surveys, and stakeholder meetings, with over 70 organizations also providing input. In all, the report highlights three key goals it believes the city needs to achieve: increasing Cincinnati's population, growing jobs in Cincinnati, increasing wages and shrinking wage disparities among people living in Cincinnati. The report also compared Cincinnati's policies and circumstances with nearby cities and found Cincinnati ranked at or near the bottom in significant areas like population, job growth, and household income levels. As a result, the commission recommended to Mayor F. Tab Pureval and city leaders that several changes, including increasing income taxes for residents, be made. The Commission's first recommendation to help grow jobs in Cincinnati involves the creation of a strategic site redevelopment fund to attract high-paying jobs in targeted industries. The Commission also recommends the city increase investments in neighborhood development and housing for all income levels and work to grow the number of successful minority-owned businesses in Cincinnati. Here's how the Commission recommends the city accomplish that. Number one, a 10-year earnings tax increase of 0.1%. Selling or leasing several city-owned real estates to generate funds for investments. Create an Office of Strategic Growth within the City Manager's Office to handle economic initiatives. The Commission also recommends changes be made to provide additional funding to fire and police departments through a 0.05% income tax increase. In contrast, the Commission recommends creating shared services between the parks and recreational departments and conducting an external operations review of the police and fire departments to determine cost-saving opportunities. In all, the earnings taxes proposed by the Commission would bring the city's earnings tax rate to 1.95%. which the Commission said is still a competitive advantage compared to peer cities. The increase, the Commission estimated, would bring in an additional $33 million for the city each year. The Commission also recommended the cities implement a fee for trash pickup and add more parking meters throughout the city. Another way the Commission recommends bringing in more funds for the city is by selling or leasing city-owned assets and divesting the assets that do not support the city's focus on core services or could be repositioned to support growth, per the report. For example, the city owns and operates 6 golf courses, including 3 that sit outside the city limits. The Commission determined that selling those would net the city between $6.5 million and $27.3 million. In addition, the Commission recommends the city lease out Lunkin Airport to CVG to leverage additional funds. If the recommendations of the Commission are taken up by city leaders, voters would have to approve most of these policies. The Commission estimated if all of its recommendations are put into place, the city could add more than 25,000 new residents, attract nearly 45,000 more jobs, increase the income levels for residents by over $20,000, and realize $15 billion in total economic impact by 2033. In response to the report, Mayor Peerval said, "The Futures Commission was tasked with an enormous responsibility, and I'm grateful that they have approached it with an open mind and a deep understanding of Cincinnati's challenges and opportunities. There is a reason I asked John Moeller and the members of the Commission to take on this work. We are at a crossroads as a city. We have momentum, incredible strengths, and a cohesive community of business, labor, and civic leaders at the table ready to pitch in. But given the critical challenges that we face, like public safety, budgetary challenges, economic growth, housing, and the environment, ensuring our long-term vibrancy requires making complex and difficult decisions in the short term. While the report makes clear that this is a holistic set of recommendations, many of the individual items will require vetting, public engagement, and an eye toward our vision of equitable growth. This is going to take time, but I am confident that in coordination with City Manager Long and the incredibly talented folks in our administration, we will lead an intentional process that keeps Cincinnati employees and residents throughout our communities in the conversation." At his State of the City address in November 2022, Mayor Aftab Peerval officially announced the Commission's formation the work of the Commission as fundamental to the city's future. The membership of the Futures Commission was designed to provide a diverse and thorough knowledge base and expertise of the city. Commissioners include executives, business owners, nonprofit CEOs, and labor leaders. Importantly, they sit on the boards of more than 90 nonprofit, community and economic development, and civic boards, bringing perspective beyond their day-to-day work that gave the Commission further reach into the community. The Cincinnati Futures Commission full report can be downloaded at the following website. This is quite long, so I will spell it out. https://cincinnati.com/wp-content/unt/upload/2024/0004/cincinnati-futures-report, that's part of the last word, underscore or underline, web, webversion.pdf. The title of the next article, Avondale Town Center, a blueprint for success. After 10 years and $45 million spent, this project has been a success. Avondale Town Center now has a grocery store, a black-owned pharmacy, a healing arts center, a 24-hour laundromat, a cereal bar, and multiple stores and restaurants. Sorry to say that that's the end of that article, very short. The next title of the article is another one, Biden Set to Address Morehouse Graduates. President Joe Biden plans to deliver the commencement address at Morehouse College on May 19th, a significant event as he seeks to strengthen ties with a diverse coalition that played a pivotal role in his election to the White House. The White House confirmed Biden's participation on Tuesday following his planned address to the United States Military Academy at West Point on May 25th. The Morehouse address marks the second consecutive year Biden will address the graduating class of a prominent historically black institution, having spoken at Howard University in 2023. Morehouse College is renowned for its storied history and legacy of nurturing influential black leaders, including civil rights luminary Martin Luther King Jr., and Georgia's first black U.S. Senator, Senator Raphael Warnock. It is considered a beacon of empowerment and academic excellence. Warnock, a Morehouse alum, said he was excited about the president's planned address. "I am thrilled to see President Biden return to our great state to deliver this year's commencement address. His administration's commitment to addressing the soaring costs of higher education and initiatives like canceling debt for over 4 million Americans have been pivotal in narrowing the racial wealth gap." President of Morehouse College, David Thomas, also expressed excitement for Biden's participation in the commencement ceremony, stating, "We are deeply honored that President Biden has accepted our invitation," Thomas insisted. "His presence is a testament to our institution's enduring legacy and our unwavering commitment to excellence, progress, and positive transformation." Henry Goodgame, and Morehouse alumnus and Vice President of External Relations and Alumni Engagement, said Biden's address comes during a pivotal moment for America. "We have invited the leader of the free world to address our community, tackling pressing issues and inspiring our next generation of leaders," Goodgame commented. Mickey Perrin, president of the Student Government Association at Morehouse, highlighted the college's rich tradition of hosting influential figures and shared the students' aspirations for the future. "We seek an equitable society that upholds the dignity and respect of all individuals, irrespective of race, ethnicity, nationality, gender, sex, identity, socioeconomic status, or background." Meanwhile, White House officials said Biden's address at Morehouse College reaffirms his administration's commitment to addressing racial disparities and advancing educational opportunities for all Americans. The title of the next article, U.S. Coast Guard Promotes First Black Female Admiral. U.S. Coast Guard Captain Zita Merchant has made history as the first black female admiral in the service's 233-year history. Admiral Merchant, previously the commander of Sector New York, will now lead the Coast Guard Personnel Service Center in Washington, D.C., where she will oversee recruitment and scholarships. She said she initially joined the Coast Guard with the intention of financing her medical school education. "I always had this passion for service, but I never thought it would be in the form of military service. I really feel like this is God's plan and not my plan," she told the Clarion Ledger newspaper in Jackson, Mississippi. Officials said the promotion highlights the Coast Guard's ongoing commitment to diversity and inclusion. Historian William H. Thiessen, T-H-I-E-S-E-N, notes that African Americans have played a pivotal role in the Coast Guard's history since its inception in 1790. From the earliest days of the U.S. Revenue Cutter Service, black sailors served alongside their white counterparts, with many making significant contributions during conflicts, such as the Quasi-War with France and the War of 1812, Thiessen wrote in a column for the Coast Guard's newsletter. He wrote that the Coast Guard's rich and illustrious history of African American service is filled with bravery and accomplishment milestones. From Aaron Carter, the first African American to die in combat, defending the Cape Florida Lighthouse in 1836, to Hell Roaring, Mike Healy, the first African-American commissioned officer and ship's captain, black Coast Guard members have consistently broken barriers and paved the way for future generations. During World War II, the Coast Guard led the federal government's first official experiments in desegregation, commissioning its first African-American officers and assigning black officers and enlisted men to the USS Sea Cloud. By the war's end, 5,000 black members had served in the Coast Guard, with one in every five reaching petty officer or warrant officer levels. In the following decades, African-Americans continued to achieve notable milestones within the service. Thiessen asserted that Levine Fremont and Bobby Wilkes became the first black graduates from Officer Candidate School in 1954 and 1956. Merle Smith, the first African-American graduate of the Coast Guard Academy in 1966, later received the Bronze Star Medal for his service in Vietnam. Well, folks, that wraps up this reading of the articles from the Cincinnati Herald. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. I will continue reading from it next week. This is your host, Howie Baum, wishing you a great day.